This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, founder of Seek Truth from Facts Foundation and the China Writers Group. This is an extremely important post because I just got back from China. We spent a month and spent a month in May, spent a month in October, spent a month now in May, a year later, and of course lived and worked there for 16 years. And I this last time I came back and I was just blown away. And I have a very, very generous a benefactor who has supported me now for over 3 years, thank God. And he sent me his usual monthly contribution, and I sent him a voicemail saying, you know, you and your wife have got to get over to China and see what's going on over there. It's indescribable. How do I even put it into words what is going on in that country? And we can go back to 1949. The Chinese people have been on a progress, development, discovery, innovation, invention, infrastructure tear since 1949, nonstop. But yet it has actually been going on for thousands of years. And the reason you don't know this is it's a very peculiar event in history. And I would like to thank Dr. John Hobson, who I've interviewed two or three times. He's brilliant, and I love his books. And he's the one who explained to me that in the 1680s, of course, up to that time, for thousands of years, the Chinese had all this technology and innovation and invention and math and, I mean, just everything. And, of course, the West was just, you know, you can say borrow, you can say adopted, you can say stole, you can use whatever verb you want to use, but it was coming from China. Up until that time, there was nothing but good things to say about the Chinese, especially in the 1500s, in 1617, you know, when the Portuguese arrived in Hong Kong, and to start the long, horrible, colonialism that eventually consumed China from 1839 to 1949 with the Opium Wars. But up until the 1680s, China was looked upon positively in Europe. And of course, this is even before America, the United States even existed. But what happened in the 1680s is, of course, the printing press came out in 1445 in Europe. Of course, it was stolen from the Chinese, who actually had the movable type printing press already going full gear in 1100, 335 years before. And as you go through the information I'm sharing with you today, and you go through the table I have below, you'll just see that everything has just been, you know, just been copied, stolen, copied from China, and it's still going on today. That's what's so frightening for the West to consider. But in the 1680s, there was the Enlightenment, there was the Renaissance, and people were the ability, especially with the printing press coming out in Europe in 1445 by Gutenberg. There was a filtration down in social class of people who could read and write, not to mention all the people who were coming and going back and forth because of English, French, Dutch, Spanish, Portuguese colonialism. And people were coming back from the Americas, and people were coming back from Africa. And people were coming back from Asia with horrific stories of, you know, massacres and executions and slavery and slaughter by Europeans in these lands. And the Europeans, being good Protestant Christians and Catholic Christians, were really starting to feel very uneasy about the colonial. Imperial colonial project. A lot of people were questioning it. Well, the safe ants of Europe, the bankers, the law, you know, the leaders, the royalty, the monarchies, the bourgeois, the elites. I don't know if they sat down at a table and hammered this all out, but over a number of years, a consensus arrived that Europe needed to counteract all of this unease about colonialism and imperialism in Europe. And what happened is they decided that they needed to demonize China. And so in the 1680s, China went from being the darling of Europe. I mean, Europe was full of of Chinese everything, you name it, you know, in terms of, you know, tea, from tea to clocks and furniture and scientific, you know, machines agricultural equipment. And I mean, it just clothing and paintings and, you know, silk and inventions and everything that they were using. And so they decided, they said, okay, China no longer really kind of exists anymore. They just shut out China, and Europe began to say that sui generis, which means from themselves, the Europeans began to propagandize and claim that all this technology that they had did not come from China, but came from themselves. They invented it. The Europeans invented it. Nobody before us ever invented any of all of this incredible technology that we have. It's all thanks to our genius and our racial superiority. And so that's what happened. That's why you don't know any of this. And who else did they decide to demonize at the same time? Muslims. They're an easy target because they're against, opposing supposedly Christianity. And that was, at a time when the Ottoman Empire was not very far away in, you know, Turkey, Constantinople, and over much of, you know, North Africa and the Middle East. So they demonized, starting in the 1680s, they started to demonize Chinese. Well, they didn't demonize the Chinese, they just pretended they didn't even exist anymore. But then they turned around and started demonizing Muslims. And so the best way to rally a group of people is to find a common enemy. And they found a common enemy in those dirty, dirty Muslims. And China who? China where? What? So that's what happened. But you need to know that, I printed out my list, and you can do the same. In fact, it's printed out so that you can make it into a nice A3 poster. But I got this information from a book by Robert Temple, which it's called The Genius of China. And what's fascinating about the book is that it was actually commissioned by Queen Elizabeth in 1997, with the handover of Hong Kong back to China. And she commissioned it as a way to honor what the Chinese had done for Britain up to that time. So that was pretty amazing. It's a cool little book. I highly recommend you. In fact, to be honest, you can get it in PDF now online. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's much, much nicer in a print. You can get it for the cost of shipping because they made so many copies. And because the print book, and it's only maybe a couple of hundred pages long, but it's got lots of photos. And it's just nice to hold and look at the pictures and everything and see all the technology. And his book by Robert Temple, The Genius of China, is based on the research of Dr. Joseph Needham, who was the greatest, we can say, Western sinologist probably ever from the beginning of time, but at least in the 20th century. And of course, he went to China back in the 1930s, and started, you know, gathering all, started noticing all of this stuff about Chinese technology. And he created a research center, which is still going strong today, long after he died. And he ended up with a volume, and they're still adding to it. This is actually dated from like 2018. At that time, they had 22 million words of information from China to show Chinese technology going back for thousands of years. And it's really fast. And he actually has I think it's five volumes. I have it up in the attic. I just don't have room to show it right now. But he actually, they condensed the hundreds of volumes, or thousands and thousands of pages into five volumes. And so now Robert Temple's book is kind of a condensation of that down to maybe 100 inventions. But I just want to go through a few of the things just to, for you to appreciate how advanced China has been going back thousands of years. Row cultivation of crops and intensive hoeing. Oh, putting crops in rows. Who would have thought of that? Well, the Chinese thought of it in 600 BC. The darn Europeans didn't even figure it out until 1600 AD, 2,200 years later. The fully modern curved moldboard plow, which you just take for granted, but again, the Chinese had that in 300 BC, and it was Jethro Tull in 1600 who in England was going around trying to get the farmers in England to start planting. He obviously got this from the Chinese because of the Silk Roads. And the plow came, you know, with the Silk Roads, you know, from China. But he was trying to get people to adopt it, and they finally did in 1600. Multi-tube modern seed drill, you know, the thing where you put the seeds in the deal, and you got and the thing goes along and puts a seed in the ground and covers it up every so many centimeters. It's not modern. It's the Chinese had it in 200 BC, and the Europeans didn't figure it out until they obviously stole it from the Chinese in 1600. That's 1,800 years later. Now you know why in 200 AD, at the height of the Roman Empire, you know, its greatest expansion, its greatest population, China had six times as much land and nine times as many people as the greatest, you know, supposed, you know, empire of the world. China, six times as much land and nine times as many people. That's because they had all of these incredible agricultural and other technological advancements. Astronomy and cartography. Recognition of solar of sunspots as solar phenomenon. A Chinese scientist named Kang He, he discovered them in 400 BC. The Chinese, the West got it in 1600, 2,000 years later. A discovery of Jupiter's moons. Galileo, get out of here! It was Gambia. He discovered Jupiter's moons in 400 BC, and Galileo claims he discovered them in 1700 AD. Okay, that's 2,100 years. And for sky catalogs, you know, the great Greek sky catalogs that we inherited, the Chinese actually had those in 400 BC. The Greeks got close 200 BC, only 200 years later. raised relief maps. A Chinese cartographer by the name of Ma Yuan created raised relief maps in 100 AD. They didn't get used in Europe until 1400 AD. That's 1,300 years later. Quantitative cartography by Chang Hong. He developed quantitative cartography in 200 AD. The Europeans didn't get around to it until 1300 years later. The discovery of solar wind. The Chinese actually discovered solar wind in 600 AD. And the West did not get around to it until the year 2000, only 1,400 years later. Mercator, Mercator maps? Are you kidding? They're not Mercator. They're Chinese. They developed Mercator maps in 1,000 AD, and Mercator, got around to doing it in 600 years later in 1600. Mounted equatorial astronomical instruments stolen. I was nice here and said copied, but he obviously got the idea from the Chinese. The Chinese had them in 1300 AD. Tycho Brahe ripped them off in 1600. And next, domestic and industrial technology. This is unbelievable. Petroleum and natural gas as fuel. Think about that. Petroleum and natural gas as fuel. The Chinese were getting oil and gas out of the ground in 400 BC. 400 BC. The West got around to it in the 1900s. Paper, 200 BC versus 1200 AD. Wheelbarrow, 100 BC versus 1200 AD. Fishing reel. Well, the Chinese invented it in 300 AD. The West didn't get around to using one until 1700 AD. The stirrup for the horse. Can you imagine how important that was in terms of transportation and agriculture, warfare, etc.? The stirrup was developed by the Chinese, not the West, in 300 AD. 300 years later, in 600 AD, the West got it from China. Biological pest control. The Chinese were doing biological pest control in 300 AD. The West didn't get around to it until 1900. The matches. You think, oh, wow, matches. You know, something as simple as that, but how revolutionary that is if you can create fire independently. Matches were created by the Chinese in 577 AD. The West found out about them and 1,000 years later in 1577 AD. There's more here. Printing, of course, this is the biggie, Gutenberg. He didn't invent movable type. It was the Chinese who invented movable type in 1045. And he obviously got it from the Silk Roads. Somebody brought a printing press back, and he claimed it in 1445, 400 years later. It's the Chinese were using like clay, wood, and ceramics to do their movable type, but actually it was the Koreans who beat the Chinese to it, to using metal movable type 50 years before the Chinese. So the list just goes on and on and on. Looking at engineering, cast iron. Wow. The Chinese had cast iron in 400 BC. The West didn't get around to making cast iron until 1300 AD. Double action piston with air pistons, 400 BC for the Chinese, 1500 for the West. Malleable iron, 300 BC for the Chinese, 1300 for the West. The crank handle, you think, oh, that's, but can you imagine how much that revolutionized the daily life? The Chinese had it in 200 BC. The West got it in 900 AD, 1100 years later. Gimbals or cardan suspension. This goes for looming carpets and cloth. But they're very, very important in terms of engineering. 200 BC versus 900 AD. Manufacture of steel from cast iron. The Chinese were doing it in 200 BC, and all this big stuff about, you know, the Bessemer converter and all this other stuff, you know, that the West had developed and invented. No, they got it from the Chinese. The West got around to it in 1800 AD, 2000 years later. This is the one that's so staggering for me. Deep drilling for natural gas. 200 BC, 200 years before Jesus Christ, the Chinese were using massive, you know, rocks, you know, and pistons, you know, dropping pistons and driving down into the ground, going down hundreds of, not just, you know, digging a hole, but going down hundreds of meters, extracting natural gas, and then taking that and then using bamboo for piping and piping that natural gas after 200 BC into people's houses. And they even had street lights, for gosh sakes. And we didn't get around to it until the 1800s. The belt drive, you know, a drive belt, you know, you think of something between two gears, you know, something as simple as that. Revolutionary. 100 BC for the Chinese, 1700 AD for the West. Chain pump, 100 AD versus 1500 AD. Suspension bridge. Of course, Marco Polo was jaw dropping because of the bridges in the 1200s. But they actually had suspension bridges in 100 AD. The West finally got around to it. 1800 years later in the 1900s. Essentials of a steam engine. The British, you want to claim they, created the steam engine, and Watt and all those other guys. The Chinese had the essentials of a steam engine in 500. The West got around to it in 1700. Siemens, the German, Siemens, famous engineering company. Siemens' supposed steel process, the Chinese had it in 500 AD. And Siemens claimed that he invented it in 1800. No, he didn't. He stole it from the Chinese. Underwater salvage operations. The Chinese were doing underwater salvage operations in 1100 AD. The West got around to it in the 1900s. Magnetism, of course, the first compass. The Chinese had the first compass in 400 BC. The West got around to it 1,500 years later in 1100. Magnetic declination of the Earth's magnetic field, 900 AD versus 1500 AD. The decimal system, the Chinese are very nice. They give the Indians and the Arabs credit for the decimal system, but it was really the Chinese who invented it. 1400 BC, and the West didn't get around to it until 900 AD. The great Roman Empire using freaking Roman numerals. Jesus. A place for a zero, where to put the zero. 400 BC versus 1000 AD. Negative numbers. The Chinese were using negative numbers in 200 BC. The West got around to it in 1500 AD. Extraction of higher roots and solutions of higher numerical equations. 100 BC versus 500 AD. Decimal fractions, 100 BC versus 1500 AD. Solving cube roots with fractions. This is supposedly Lagrange, French guy, French scientist, mathematician, Lagrange. the Lagrange point in space, etc. My daughter actually spent 6 months working at Huawei's Lagrange Mathematical Institute in Paris. Interesting. Anyway, solving cube roots with fractions that Lagrange claimed that he invented. Well, sorry. The Chinese had it in 100 BC, and he claimed it in 1800. Using algebra and geometry. Fibonacci. Everybody in math knows about Fibonacci. He was the one that invented it. No, he wasn't. The Chinese had it in 300 AD, and he developed it supposedly in 1300 AD. A refined value of pi, 3.14, by Liu Hui, he did it in 300 AD. The West finally got around to it 1,200 years later in 1500. Solving cube roots with decimals, again, Liu Hui versus Horner. Horner supposedly developed this in the West. No, he didn't. He stole it from the Chinese. 300 AD versus 1900. My God, 1,600 years later. Solving cubic equations, Wang Xiaotong versus Scipione del Ferro, 700 AD versus 1,500 AD. Pascal, another French guy. The triangle of binomial coefficients was actually invented by Liu Juxi in 1100. He claimed he invented it in Pascal invented it in 1527. Equations higher than cubes was actually invented by, developed by Qin Jiushao in 1300. The West likely got it with the Silk Roads 300 years later in 1600. Medical and health, circulation of the blood. The Chinese figured that out in 600 BC. The West finally figured it out in 1200 AD. That's 1800 years. The science of endocrinology, hormones and glands. The Chinese had it figured out in 200 BC. The West finally figured it out in 1900. Deficiency diseases like goiter. Again, the Chinese 380 versus 1900 in the West. Diabetes discovered by urine analysis, 700 AD, 1,000 years later for the West in 1700. Use of thyroid hormone. I take thyroid every day. I have almost all my life. My thyroid never worked very well. Dr. Chen Chuan, again, developed it in 700 AD. Wow, big new discovery in the West in 1950, 4 years before I was born. My God. Did you know that the Chinese were actually immunizing against smallpox, immunology, inoculation in 1000 AD? And it wasn't until 1800 that the West finally got around to it. The first law of motion, the Moa school, was 400 BC. This is now we're into the physical sciences. The first law of motion, the Moa school, 400 BC versus 900 for the West. The seismograph was created by Chang Hung in the year 130 AD. They finally got around to creating a seismograph in the West in 1530 AD, a good 1400 years later. Spontaneous combustion was developed by the Chinese in 200 AD, not 1500 years later. In 1700, the West got around to it. Quote, modern geology, James Hutton was actually ridiculed in 1785 when he claimed to have discovered, modern geology. But actually, the Chinese had it in 200 AD, 1500 years earlier. Then we get to music. This is really interesting. Large tuned bells, 600 BC versus 1900. I mean, we're talking about 2,500 years later, the West could finally make large tuned bells. Hermetically sealed research laboratories, 100 BC for the Chinese versus 1900 AD, 2,000 years later. first understanding of musical timbre, 300 AD versus 1900 AD. And this is really interesting. Equal temperament in music was discovered by Zhu Ziyu, completely revolutionized European music. Up until it was, the Chinese figured it out in 1584, likely got it from the Chinese through the Silk Roads, and the West got it in 1634. And without that, up until that time, most Western music was just Gregorian chants, just, you know, cathedral chants. There wasn't really developed music. And of course, that was the Baroque period. It was this discovery using the Chinese discovery of equal temperament that allowed modern Western music to be developed. The kite, 450 BC versus 1550 AD. Manned flight with kites, 400 BC versus 1250 in the West. First relief maps, 300 BC to 1300 AD, 1600 years later. First contour transport canal. You know, this is transportation is big if you want to help the people. 300 BC versus 1600 for the West. Working parachute, 200 BC versus 1800 for the West. That's 2,000 years later. The rudder on a boat, of course, which, you know, that's 100 AD versus 1200 AD in the West. Balanced rudder, 100 AD versus 1900 AD, 1800 years later, the West finally started using a balanced rudder. By the way, I rounded these numbers off, so it could be, you know, it's like 1900, but it's like the 1900s. I'm just using Robert Temple's information. Mast and sailing, multiple masts and fore and aft rigs, 200 AD for the Chinese, which is why they were all over the world long before the West ever got to North America. 1400 Columbus was lost his way in North America. Masts and sailing, watertight compartments in ships, 200 AD versus 1900 AD. Masts and sailing leeboards, 800 AD versus 1600. Helicopter rotor and the propeller, you know, supposedly, you know, a great American invention, 400 AD versus 1900 AD, 1500 years later. Land sailing, you know, using wheeled vehicles, which we see on the beaches here in Normandy all the time. It's a pleasure sport here. 550 AD versus 1600 in the West. Canal pound lock, you know, the famous, you know, the locks, you know to take ships up and down elevations. Was developed by Chiao Wei Yue in 984. Finally, 400 years later, in 1384, the West got the idea. The fenestrated rudder was developed in 1300 by the Chinese, and not until 2000 by the West. My God. Okay, warfare. This is really incredible, and this is why, you know that the Chinese are not imperialistic and not expansionist, because if they were, I would be speaking Chinese to you, and you would have gone to school in Chinese, because they had weapon, their weapon technology was centuries ahead of the West, and they could have easily taken over the entire world if they were lizard-brained Westerners, like the way the Westerners treat the rest of the world. Chemical warfare, poison gas, smoke bombs, and tear gas, 400 BC versus 1900 in the West. The crossbow, a guy named Mr. Qin invented it with a metal trigger, 200 BC versus 0 AD, 200 years earlier. Gunpowder, 900 versus 1200. It's really interesting. The lag for weapons is not nearly as much as some of the other developments, because the West, needed those weapons. Soft bombs and grenades, 1000 versus 1400. The flamethrower, 1000 AD versus 2000 AD. The Chinese actually had flamethrowers in 1000 years before the West. Gunpowder loaded arrows, 1000 AD versus 1550. Repeating crossbow, 1100 versus 1700, 600 years earlier. I mean, they could have just plowed across Asia in all the way to Portugal, and nobody could have stopped them. But they didn't do that, because they don't have that Western expansionist, occupation, enslaving people. They just don't have that DNA. Rockets, 1100 versus 1300, 200 years earlier. Guns, cannons, and mortars. Fire lance, 1120 in China, 1570 in the West, 450 years later. Metal-cased bombs, 1221 versus 1467. Landmines, 1277 in China versus 1403 in the West. That's only 126 years later. And I'm sure all of this stuff was brought through the Silk Roads. Guns, cannons, and mortars. The true gun, the Chinese had it in 1280, and 50 years later, the West got it. Likely again. Guns are easy, easy to transport. I'm sure they were brought over by on the Silk Roads. The Venturi principle, 1300 in China, 1800, 500 years later in the West. Repeating guns, 1300 in China, 1600, 300 years later in the West. A winged rocket. Just think about that. World War II, the V2, the German V2. 1400 AD in China, and the 20th century, 600 years later in the West. Sea mines, 1400 in China, 200 years later in the West. Multi-staged rockets, incredible. 1400 AD, the Chinese, 1400 for the Chinese, 600 years later in 2000. Of the 20th century for the West. And on average, the average for the Chinese, the development is 238 AD. The average for the West is 1491 AD, a difference of 1,238 years on the average. So this is what the West is up against. This is why they cannot compete. This is why they are having to resort to war and occupation and boycotts and sanctions and tariffs and blockades, because they cannot compete against China on a level playing field. And other than that 110-year period that the Chinese called the Century of Humiliation, from 1839, the First Opium War, until the Communists liberated China in 1949. Other than that 110-year period, when the Europeans and the Americans savagely raped and plundered the Chinese people during that time, and kept them completely incapacitated with opium and then later morphine and heroin into the late 19th century and into the 20th century, the largest, most profitable and longest-lasting drug cartel in human history, thanks to the British and the Americans. Other than that 110-year period, China has always been top dog in the world. That's just all there is to it. And now, now that the Western Empire is obviously on the decline, after 500 years of raping and plundering and pillaging and enslaving most of the rest of the world. That's all now coming to an end, and China is just, you know, has been trucking along for 5,000 years, and no one's going to be able to catch them And of course, that is another reason why the United States will eventually push China into a war using Taiwan as a proxy, just like they're using the Ukraine as a proxy to try to destroy Russia. It has been a complete and total failure in Ukraine, and will likely ignite World War III, because now they've approved, you know, shooting long distance missiles deep into Russia, which is war. That's hot war, and of course the Russians will respond accordingly. The Chinese, you know, just said at the Shangri-La military confab in Singapore this week that, you know, we will never accept anything less than Taiwan being reintegrated into the motherland. Of course, Taiwan has been a part of Chinese culture and civilization going back thousands and thousands of years, and they will likely, you know, trigger the Chinese to attack. And as again, I like to point out to people, a lot of people don't know this, but China and North Korea have a mutual defense treaty going back to 1961, just renewed in 2021. So that when America does trigger their war with China, a 1.2 million Marxist-Leninist, communist, socialist, Confucius, highly motivated, highly ideological North Korean soldiers, 1.2 million will flood across the 38th parallel, overwhelm South Korea, and we'll see what happens then. In the meantime, go on YouTube, and I have my database, you know, that I've created, but I can't keep up. I mean, I try, but there's so much out there. The best place, if you want to follow Chinese infrastructure and technology, is YouTube. There's some wonderful channels on there that I run across all the time. And also check out my database. Download this table that I just reviewed with you. And I've also got a number of videos and a number of other resources in my database. So have at it. And enjoy the ultra-modern life that you have today, because you can thank the Chinese for what they gave to the West over the last 4,000 or 5,000 years to get us there. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, founder of Seek Truth from Facts Foundation and the China Writers Group, signing out. Have a great day.